Help our network grow by pledging to our Patreon. From now until the end of the year, we are asking our listeners to donate a minimum of $1. In order to keep the network alive, we need to hit 100 subscribers before the end. So help us keep the lights on by heading over to www.patreon.com/RainmanDigital. Check out the podcast description of this episode for details.
That is kind of morbid. I think I need to rewrite that.
Yeah.
The end.
Before the end, we're all going to die. We live off of morsels that we purchase with the money you send us.
They have
all
this,
five of you.
They have this chained up. If we don't get to 100, they will not release us.
Yeah. We are writing to you via a transcriber because we are cuffed and bound. We cannot move. Please help us.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it to this.
Superman.
My friend.
Who are you?
The lesser of Hastia compels me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Hey, with my hands.
Warning, EC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
Hello and welcome to DC on RMD, Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. Find us on demand on your favorite podcast provider and remember to subscribe, rate, and review. I'm your host, Lauren. I have Bobby with me in the studio today.
Hello, hello.
And let's talk Supergirl. We're now on episode 3 of this season, and it seems like the story's progressing well for the first time in, like, 2 seasons?
Yeah, it's not 8 episodes of what the fuck's going on.
Or are we getting lured into a false sense of security?
Dun, dun, dun. Maybe.
Maybe, we'll see. Okay, so this episode was called Blurred Lines. Dreamer goes into John's head to figure out his past. Sam can't find Frodo and wanders into this crazy tech place and hangs out with Kelly. And that's about it, right? That's it. Nothing else happened.
Yeah.
End of the episode. This one was directed by Eric Dean Seaton, written by Lindsay Sterman and Jay Holtham. I don't know any of these names.
No, these are all definitely brand new.
Having watched it, do you feel like that's a good thing or a bad thing or a neutral thing?
I'm going to go neutral because we all know that it's a machine at this point.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter who the writers are or who the director is. I mean, I think we've learned that from Kevin Smith in general, where he's like, I just show up and tell people what to do. And they put my name on it, and it's not really any different. So,
I mean, yeah, when the overall story is already kind of written, it's a little bit hard to put your own stamp on it. But we do have some episodes that are, like, obviously done in a different sort of way.
Yeah, and I think those are mainly done by the writers. Like, I know when I see Sterling Grant, like, on a Flash episode, I know that it's going to get something good, or James Bamford on Arrow as a director, that it's going to be an action-packed one. You know, I've definitely learned that over the years, but when they're random people that I haven't known yet, I don't know what we're going to, what to expect, or, again, are they just in the new cog in the machine that are just going to keep it going?
We'll see. All right, so Dreamer and John had their own kind of subplot this week a little bit. We got to see more of why it is so horrible to erase a memory. Because to me, it's like, well, it's just erasing a memory. Like, it's absolutely like an invasion of your own mind and privacy and personality and everything like that. I would say it's morally unethical for sure, with the exception of some certain circumstances, like with Alex in previous seasons. That was for the greater good. Alex specifically asked for it. Consent was given. All right, cool. But I hadn't thought about it in terms of this Martian sort of greater consciousness, hive mind sort of collective mind thing. I hadn't thought about it in terms of that. And when Jean says, a Martian's death isn't final, but erasing a memory is, that really hits home as to why Malefic is so crushed by having been erased.
Could you imagine that?
Everyone else still exists within the collective, like, consciousness and the collective mind and everything of the Martians.
And just you being the one that everybody forgot.
Yeah. And everyone else lives on in that particular way because they pass their memories on, but no one knows you. No one remembers you. That's pretty messed up. And now it doesn't matter so much, seeing as we've got, like, Megan and we've got Jean, and before Malefic came around, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
There were no other Green Martians. So not, well, and Megan wasn't even a Green Martian at the end of the day. She's a white Martian. But yeah, Jean and now his brother are the last of the Green Martians. And so it doesn't really matter anymore, but the betrayal is still there, and it absolutely was something that happened at a point when there was still a Green Martian population. So, like, man, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah, I honestly really did dig this storyline. At first, I wasn't sure.
Maybe, yeah, like, oh, brothers fighting. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what's the big deal here? What's going on? Do I care? Like, let's do Supergirl stuff. And then I was like, I believe that this actually gave, like, a real useful story for Dreamer.
Yeah.
That we really haven't seen before. Like, it's like, oh, what's your powers? I fall asleep and dream stuff. Cool. It's like, well, what is this going to do for us? And just be able to go into that mind and actually watch her character struggle. And you know, as annoying as the brainy thing was last week, it set this up perfectly to think she was just irritated with him.
Yeah.
And not the fact that she had, it was hiding something that she saw in somebody's mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like, I didn't think that this story was going to hit quite as deep as it is. You know, it's like, oh, okay, okay, okay. Sure. Erasing a memory is a cultural taboo. Like, don't you dare do it. Like, but seeing everything really manifested visually, it hit home a little bit more. Like, it hit harder watching his dad struggle and watching this moral dilemma for Jean, you know, and how emotionally he reacted when he thought it was his father. And, oh, he spent his life preaching that he was a pious man, a godly man, and this is what he's done. You know, no wonder my brother is crushed and hurt and angry and seeks vengeance, because that's the most horrible thing that you can do to someone in our culture. Then to come back and have Dreamer say, hey, listen, I really think you need to know about this, even though it's painful. Do you want to? And to have him have to deal with the reality that it was him that did this. You know, obviously he feels very strongly about it, that it was a horrible thing to do. But he has to come to terms with it. It's something that he did, and he may not agree with it anymore because he erased his own memories too. But it's, yeah, like, it's a huge moral dilemma of, my father did the best that he could. I don't want him to live in agony the rest of his life, but this is the worst thing that I could do morally. So, like, ethically. So what do I do?
Yeah. And it just, I think the, it just, it caught me off guard, I guess.
Yeah. It's easy to tell someone what you would have done in that situation.
Yeah.
When you're not in that situation, it's easy to say that you would take the moral or ethical high road, and, you know, own up and face to it. But people react emotionally, and that's not usually what happens.
Yeah. And it's always funny when you think about it, and you know, you, think of the bigger picture of the episode in general, that, you know, the blurred lines, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, we had the dreamer thing, which we're talking about now. And then we had Kara kind of dealing with the same situation with her and Lena later of like, what do you do? You know, the moral, the ethics. And so, you know, now that you kind of think about it, the stories were actually well put together.
Oh, absolutely.
Or like a overall theme of an episode, that they weren't as, you know, mishmash as a lot of the stories are, to where, all right, we're going to do this with so-and-so and this with so-and-so, and it really doesn't really matter. You know, I think we've always liked those storylines that are kind of parallel paths, you know.
Dealing with different things, dealing with similar themes at the same time.
Yeah, you could still see the similarities in there, and characters have real struggle.
Yeah, because there was a lot going on here. If you're looking at the moral and ethic, you know, questions here of what's happening, you know, Brainy is a very forthcoming character. He rarely hides anything from anyone, and he gave Dreamer advice. It's, if you care about someone, you should tell them the truth, and that's true, regardless of, you know, what is going to happen or how much it's going to hurt. You know, probably like word it well.
Real life story. You know how Ryan found out his wife was cheating on him?
How?
Because me and a bunch of my buddies had to tell him. Because we found out, and it might suck to tell people that real life is happening, but sometimes you just got to fucking suck it up and do it.
Yeah.
Because it's not the greatest thing when you find out news or you can confirm something that is real and you have to go to somebody and know you're going to break that man's heart.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather find out than be an idiot that doesn't know. Maybe idiot's harsh, but I'm directing that at myself.
Yeah. You're just not an idiot, but just unaware.
Yeah. I mean,
of a situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Oblivious or ignorant. Yeah. I would much rather someone come to me directly and say, hey, this is going on. I think you need to know. I found out about it. You know, here it is. I would so much rather know than not, because then at least I can deal with it. And even if it's someone close to me that did that thing, like maybe like say, Paul's in the studio sitting here. Say Paul stabbed all four of my tires and let the air out because he was mad at me, and that's how he chose to take out his anger. He looks grumpy now.
That's aggressive, Paul.
I would, and like I came home and I found my tires flat. I'd be fucking pissed. I'd be so pissed. But if he came to me and said, listen, I don't really know why I did that, but that's how I chose to take out my anger because I'm mad at you. You did this shitty thing and this is how I chose to retaliate. I'm sorry, but it was me. I'd be like, wow, that sucks. And now I have to shell out like $600 or whatever the hell it is to replace all my tires. I'm also mad at you too now, but thanks for telling me. I know that's such a random scenario, I guess, but I'd be so much less mad to find out from the person that did it rather than someone else.
Yeah.
Or I'd at least like to know if someone else told me that they found out that someone else in my life was doing something. I just so much rather know. Ugh. That's a big thing for me. Okay, so let's before we move on from the brother of Jean, Malefic, let's talk about his powers and kind of his background a little bit, because so to break it down, I guess, so he cannot like basically mind meld with other Martians.
And glad they answered that question fast, because that was our first kind of like, why the fuck can't he, why doesn't he know, shouldn't they all have that ability? Well, nope, he doesn't have it.
Yeah. So he cannot do that, which is true to the comics. But we got confirmation this episode for the CW-verse character. He cannot, like, join minds with other Martians. He lacks that ability. which has probably had a lot of an effect on his personality and what he does do. He does have, has he always had the power of inception? Is that, that was something he had as a kid, right?
Yeah.
Where he took over the kids' minds and he could make them do whatever he wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Spooky as hell. That sounds like a terrible person to go up against. so he can do that, though. So he can control other people in lieu of being able to join minds. So, yeah, and on top of that, you know, he's got the regular Martian strength and phasey bullshit and shape-shifting. And so he's just a spooktacular, terrible time. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to really deal with him. Because every time Jean goes to fight him, it just like wrecks both of them.
Yeah.
The unbreakable curse.
One thing Supergirl does better than a lot of the shows is the use of him going back sometimes, or like the flashbacks.
Yeah.
You know, showing the kids and all that other stuff. They always have a point and seem to be real like on it, and always have that like weird ability of keeping the main characters in the scene while showing what's going on. I don't know. I just dig the way they shoot it and the
because
way they do
it. Because they have telepaths in the show.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, I understand that part of it, but it's just like unique and it's refreshing to see instead of like how Arrow does it, where it just zooms into some random color and that color shows up in a flashback and you're like, oh.
It is so much more enjoyable to watch, kind of refreshing. And it's nice having the characters at the current present time be watching that stuff that's happening in the past and
get that reaction shot.
Yeah. Yeah. And have them react to it kind of real time as the viewers.
Like we do. Yeah.
It. It's now fresh information. It's not just a deep seated memory that you can't quite recall anymore. It's now at the front of your mind, as opposed to a flashback that a character may or may not even fully remember all the way. You know, they might just remember a small piece of it, but what actually happened was everything that you just watched for the past 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is. It's nice. I like it. And honestly, the one time they really, really did a flashback and did that whole like flashback episode, mm-hmm. that was one of the best episodes Supergirl's ever done.
Yeah. With those girls that looked exactly like we would think.
Those amazing young actresses that looked, like identical to what they would have looked like as kids.
Yes, look like a de-aging process.
And acted just like them, and they were just perfection incarnate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I think, honestly, overall, even when Supergirl does real flashback stuff, they still do it more successfully than the other shows. That's something that they absolutely triumph at. I don't know. I agree. I'm glad we got to see this and have our questions answered. And it's done. We can move forward now. Awesome. So, hey, DC on RMD listeners, if you love our shows, please share with your friends and review. With every share and or review, you help our show climb those charts. Wherever you listen, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Play, remember to share those links each and every episode. So let's talk a little bit more about the moral code of the characters and stuff like that. Specifically now, Kara. This is a huge moral dilemma with Kara this week. And Lena, but like we all know Lena's not being very morally sound right now.
We don't expect her to use her friend. Yeah. No, we expect her to use her as a tool.
God, yeah. She's straight up manipulating her. Planting, you know, conversational topics, faking PTSD. And like maybe she has PTSD, like to be sure. She's gone through some shit. But what she's talking about isn't really happening.
Yeah.
She's literally planting conversational points to lure Kara because she knows her personality and like, well, you need to take care of it. Like if that's helping you, you keep doing it. Yeah. I want to see you better. Oh, but I can't. There's no way. They're all locked up in a maximum security government facility. My lawyer said there's no way.
Oh, what am I going to do?
I'll never heal my PTSD now.
And it was set up so perfectly with Kara being like, I went to the Venetian or, you know, to Venice to get this. I went to Paris to get this. I went to this and blah, blah, blah.
So
and it's like
desperate to prove herself to Lena.
Yeah.
So desperate. So appreciative that she's even been forgiven at all to her knowledge.
Uh-huh.
And so desperate to prove, you know, hey, I am in this. I appreciate you. I care about you. I want to do everything I can to make up for me not being forthcoming about this and to show that I'm here for you in our friendship. I mean, I feel so bad for Kara now. I used to feel bad for Lena, you know, being in the dark, and I was kind of irritated with Kara for it because Lena should be trusted. But now I just feel bad for Kara. She's so good deep down to her core, and Lena is just disappointing me. And Katie McGrath is incredible, as always. Every single episode, she's always amazing. But the direction that they're taking the character is really disappointing me.
Yeah, and it again, I think we said it last week. It's not the writing. It's not the acting. It's just something that we don't want.
Yeah, it's just something that they're successfully making us feel on purpose.
Yeah.
They're doing a great job. I'm just upset about it.
Yes, it's absolutely a personal choice at this point of you're not doing anything wrong. You're doing everything right. It's just making us feel shit we don't want to fucking feel.
Yeah.
So something we were wishing against this whole time. And it's happening, and it's happening really, really well. We still hate it. So there.
I don't know. Could you manipulate a friend like that? Like, I don't think I could do that.
The guilt would just be overwhelming for me. If we were on the good terms, and I was just like, yeah, can you, like, I really like this. Can you go fly get this for me? Yeah. You know, for some underhanded, deceiving, you know, mission.
Yeah.
Probably not. I might try to talk you into it, thinking it's a good idea. But right. I wouldn't just be, like, completely underhanded about it. Like, I need this. If I don't get this, you know, I just might die.
I'm gonna die.
Like, it's really important, you know?
There's also the other side of it, like, with Kara. She's got an eye for bullshit. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Like when she doesn't have an emotional, actually, no, I take it back. When she has a negative emotional reaction to someone, she has an eye for bullshit,
yeah.
Like with that other reporter. But when she cares about someone, she kind of puts those blinders up a little bit. She just blindly trusts them. And she doesn't think that Lena's capable of manipulating her like this, which I probably wouldn't either, because she's acting completely unlike herself. And how would you react to that? You know, like, you know it's wrong, but you're doing it for a friend anyway. And I can't say that I wouldn't do something like that. I would probably make some stupid, crappy, dumb, possibly illegal choice if one of my friends was like, I desperately need this thing.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, like, do you really need them? Go see a therapist.
Yeah, it's always yes. It's always one of those things. Yes, I have the means to help you, you know, but how important is it?
Yeah. I think moving kind of further down into just Lena territory, Hope is creepy. Also, is the actress that plays Eve/Hope now, is she like pregnant or something?
Because of the loose, like, clothes?
Yeah.
I think she is, and I think I've seen it in some of the photos, like, maybe from SDCC.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up real quick. But yes.
They're trying real hard to hide it.
They definitely are doing the pregnant lady thing, and I didn't even think about it until you said it, but
I can't not think about it.
Yeah, because she's been in like the scrubs that are seven sizes too big.
And her face looks a little plumper, and her belly occasionally touches the fabric on her shirt, like the front of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 100%. Like, she's just absolutely, she has to be
like, pregnant. How are we going to write this in?
Yeah. I
This is a very, like, she's like Jarvis at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, July 20th, 2019, Andrea Brooks reveals she's pregnant. Definitely. And she was, like, not, like, huge, but fairly pregnant by then, and that was around San Diego.
Yeah, because she would have been, these would have been shot probably right before San Diego.
Yeah. And she was, yeah, in Vancouver, holding a pretty decently sized baby bump. So, yeah. I feel like it's just going to get, like, bigger and bigger. It must be such an awkward thing to do. I wonder how they would have dressed her if they hadn't had her being Hope.
Yeah.
You know, like, would they just have written her out for a while? Like, what would they have done? Ugh. Okay. So those journals, they're like childhood journals. Or, well, at least that's what she told Kara.
Yeah.
But I don't think they actually are, right? Like, they're like.
No, I think they're his fucking doomsday devices. Yeah, now that, right? They've some, you know, Da Vinci code the shit out of those books.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Q wave situation and him having it be in the most cryptic, like, near undecipherable shit possible. I feel like it would have taken Lena so much longer to decrypt that.
Yeah.
If she hadn't had Hope.
Yeah. And then it's just like, again, oh, it's the third letter or whatever it was. And she was able to decipher it in like 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and now she's got Lex Luthor's mind control techniques, like how to use Q waves to control minds. Awesome. How long until Lena snaps and goes down?
And here's where the contacts come in.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, because, like, she's saying now that she doesn't want to control people.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to make their decisions for them. She just wants them to always be honest and perfect and good and never harm anyone, which involves rewriting parts of their brains to make it, like, impossible to make that choice. So, God, yeah, I mean, that's already, like, such a violation of people to begin with. However well-intentioned it may be.
Yeah, those never turn out well.
But how long until she snaps and is just like, I just wanted everyone to be good. And, like, complete mind control over everyone.
And it's just a bunch of, like, Stepford Wives walking around.
Yeah.
Because she turns, like, again, it's going to be the contacts. And she's going to turn that in. And that's what's going to happen.
Hack them. What if she kills Andrea Rojas? Oh, no, I won't be. Won't be very upset about that, but yeah, I mean, do you think Lex is going to have any sort of influence over her process with this? Like, reading his journals and stuff like that, do you think she's going to slowly start thinking more like Lex?
I think she's going down that road, you know, because Lex always thought he was doing good, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
Until he stopped caring.
Yeah. You know, a majority of everything we know is just because he didn't like aliens and he thought he was doing the best for the country or the people or whatever. You know, that's always been the MO of it. And so I could definitely see her feeling like I'm just trying to do good for humanity.
Yeah. Oh, Lena. All right. So, Sean Astin was the most surprising thing in this episode to me.
I feel like
I did a double take.
Yeah.
Sam?
Yeah, like, this is one of those ones where I was surprised that it was kept quiet for so long.
Yeah.
Because, you know, CW has their direct line to TV line in EW, and they seem to spoil all those things. And I didn't see anything of it. And, it, like, looking around the internet looked shocked for once.
Yeah.
So
all the articles I saw after the fact were like, Sean Astin's surprise guest role on
like he
on
just
Supergirl.
Walked on. Yeah. Like, hey guys, I walked into the wrong studio. Do you got anything for me to do?
I just happened to be in Vancouver today, and I thought I'd take a walk, and I ended up here. I don't. What show is this?
Yeah.
Can I be on it?
Yeah, I got nothing going on.
Can I also get some money for me?
Is this a reoccurring character? Because I'll come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it shocked me. Like, honestly, I was just like, huh. All right, well, again, for this is coming from people that tend to follow shows or get Facebook suggestions on things of, you know, casting and everything else. And no, nothing. Heard nothing of it. Completely.
Yeah.
So
it was interesting, too, that he was just kind of a random, like just someone that Malefic just saw in a photo with Kelly, I think a previous patient.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was it. It was just he was just a tool, just a vessel to use for a short period of time in the episode for Malefic to get into Kelly's lab, use those Q labs to try and unlock the power that I think was being suppressed, the Inception power.
Mm-hmm.
And then linked Kelly to him. Now she can spot him no matter who he's shapeshifting as, which is super convenient, except for the fact that he knows that and now is going to want to kill her. So they have to hide her instead of using her.
Yeah.
But I think it's pointless for them to bring that up and make it a thing if they're not going to use her. So she and James will be back. Just give them a couple episodes.
We're going to write you off real quick.
Yeah.
We didn't sign you for all 22 episodes. We only want you for 16. So we're going to have you're not going to be in the crossover.
You're going to have to go.
And you're not going to be in the next couple episodes. And that'll get you to your 16. Thank you for all your wonderful work.
Yeah. I mean, this just cements Kelly's place in this storyline, though, and this season, even though they're sending her away, you know she's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And sooner rather than later.
Yeah, there'll be a need or something.
Either that or he's going to go after her and find her regardless.
Yeah, and then they'll go on a road trip, too.
So, yeah, I mean, their brains are linked. She can see him. It's a whole thing. And what's interesting, too, is now we're seeing...
Or they'll be like, we're going to use you as bait. I don't want to be bait. I don't want her to be bait.
Alex.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
I love her. I don't want her to be bait. Don't worry, baby. I'll be safe. Yes, you will, because I'll be there to protect you.
Am I watching an episode of Supergirl?
Pretty much.
But it's interesting.
Primavera High School.
So Jean's not being honest with them, though, if you recall, when they were talking about all of this.
Yeah.
Whatever. He's not being forthcoming about why his brother's really coming after him. He's just like, stuff happened. Don't worry about it. It's my fault. Okay, bye.
I'll
put him in the Phantom Zone.
The lie trope. So we're going to have two characters lie about this?
Yeah.
For how long?
Yeah, I don't know. But at the same time, I mean, at the end of the day, does it really matter?
Does it really matter? He hates me. You're my friends. Help me.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to be troubling you with this. I'm sorry that this has bled into, you know, your lives as well. But no matter what you say to them, they're going to help regardless. Even if you're like, oh, let me take care of this. It's not your fault. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is one omission of the truth of things that doesn't really matter if he's lying, like in the scheme of things to them, because at the end of the day, like,
it's not. Yeah.
Your brother feels wronged because you did something shitty to him, whether it was super warranted or not. Yeah. Well, he's still mad. So here we are.
Yeah. And again, it's not going to be like, oh, well, that's what happened. Hey, you're on your own, Dick.
Yeah. It's kind of an understandable, but morally or ethically questionable thing.
Yep.
All right, so let's take a quick break and we'll come back with our final thoughts.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her.
Ooh.
And a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it, no free stuff.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
He's apparently
the fabric of society, so long as they and their weird way of doing sex is legitimized. That's what they want.
Their weird way of having sex or doing sex. I mean, gay folk, they're not aliens. They're not from Trisomian 21. They're human beings. They have sex the same way we do. They don't mind meld in order to fuck.
Now then,
they don't place their fingertips together and they're orgasming. The way these, I mean, Thomas.
Jesus, he's in the studio.
Thomas, I mean, the way the gays sign those leases for the latest Kia excursion. I mean, it's just, it's madness. The way they do those leases and buy those homes. And
you mean with the signature the same way everyone else does?
Their credit ratings are just exuberantly high for people.
From a lack of divorce.
It's true. I mean, they live a better life. They have more disposable income than the rest of us. But good golly, they're going to ruin society. If anything, we can learn a little bit about economics and the life savings from the gay community.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Against Supergirl. All right? Test run against Supergirl.
Are we just supposed to pretend like we don't hear him?
Help our network grow by pledging to our Patreon. From now until the end of the year, we are asking our listeners to donate a minimum of $1. In order to keep the network alive, we need to hit 100 subscribers before the end. So help us keep the lights on by heading over to patreon.com/RainManDigital. Check out the podcast description of this episode for details.
We're worth it, aren't we?
We're worth it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Yay!
Not the same thing.
Something like that. Except I don't have like hair to like swish around.
It's more like, I mean, I guess they kind of do swish their hair around, but it's not like a Tresemme commercial or something where it's like hair products and just poof. All right, so final thoughts on the episode.
Patreon.com. Final thoughts. This is one of those episodes that it's like, as we got into the discussion, it got better for me. Like if it, and I find that every once in a while that does happen, where we talk about it, you know, when I watch it, it doesn't have the impact, but we talk and again, the parallel storylines and then it starts to click and makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
And this was one of them. So, you know, if I had to give it a rating, I'd go, you know, 75-ish. Yeah. 75. Just because of, you know, a little downgrade for me just because of I just think the lying thing is always just overplayed in these shows that they're not being truthful. And we just had a whole like 5-minute discussion on why in the situation being truthful is not the most horrible thing in the world. You know, your friends are going to back you up no matter what. You didn't do anything. You know, it's despicable to you. But technically, to everybody else, it's just like, oh, we can see why he's mad. We'll be there to back you up type scenario. So, you know, special effects were okay. I mean, we really didn't get into the spider.
We didn't get into a couple of things. We didn't get into the spider lady, and we didn't get into how horribly heartbroken Brainy was.
Yeah. Because... it's always funny. I leave some of those things intentionally out of the notes because I don't know what the real discussion would be, mm-hmm. you know, to go into. And so
will they or won't they?
You know, those are kind of, I leave those as like low points, I guess. and leave those out. And it's part of the reason I mark down shows. So,
yeah, I think for me, I'd probably go with like a 77 or 78. Somewhere in between there.
Yeah.
77.5. Let's call it.
We're going fractions now.
Like, yeah. It was a solid episode, you know, not much to complain about. The villain was lackluster, but also was not the centerpiece of the episode. It was not the focus, so it didn't need to be shiny and cool and crazy, you know?
Yeah.
It was weird enough to be like, whoa, what the fuck? But not so distracting from the real undercutting story there. I agree that the lying thing is a bit cheap, but also TV drama.
We can't fill 22 hours a show if we don't make up stuff sometimes.
I'm really worried about what the Brainer. That's her couple name now.
Yes. Brainy. Did you just ship them?
Dreamer. The situation is going to end up like, I'm worried about that and what it's going to do to the show dynamic and to the team.
Drainy.
Gross, I hate it. Drainer. Because I would totally understand being like, hey, listen, I love these things, but like, chill out. The way she first did.
Mm-hmm.
And now it got to a point where he's just like, you told me to be 100% myself and I am. And now you just have a problem with me. It's like, whoa, buddy. There ain't nothing wrong with learning how to be with your partner in the best possible way and not stifling yourself. Do those weird things. You just don't need to do it every single second of every day. Alternate, find some balance. You're capable of that as well. That's what you do when you have a partner. You find a balance. But anyway, yeah, so I'm worried about a couple of storylines, but we'll see how they play out. 77.5. That's what I'm saying. Mm. I'm sticking to it.
Yep. Stick with your guns.
All right. That's going to do it for today's DC on RMD Supergirl edition. Remember, you can catch any past and future DC on RMD episodes on DCOnRMD.com. You can check us out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Look us up. Listen to us anywhere you get your normal podcast stuff. Thanks a lot. We'll catch you next time.
Mother of God, would you look at the time? When you came here, you had an hour.